The words of a grateful preacher became the epitaph of martyred missionaries. This is the story of Great is Thy Faithfulness in today's episode of Heritage Hymns.
Welcome to the Heritage Hymns broadcast with our speaker, Daniel Cox. Join us as we travel back in time to learn of the great songwriters and the stories that they told us through music. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast for more information. But for now, here's Pastor Cox.
Thomas Obadiah Chisholm was born in Franklin, Kentucky on the 29th of July, 1866. Never finishing high school or completing any higher education, still, he found himself teaching in that same small school at the age of 16. But despite this lack of formal training, God had given Chisholm the pen of a ready writer. At age 21, Thomas became the associate editor of the town newspaper, the Franklin Favorite. It was not, however, for the goings-on in that rural community that God had created him, but rather for his authorship of over 1,200 poems and hymns. But until he came to personal faith in Christ, he would never realize his ultimate purpose. But by God's rich grace, Dr. H.C. Morrison came to town preaching Christ. And in that meeting, Thomas, age 27, was gloriously saved. Dr. Morrison, the founder of Asbury College, observed Chisholm's sincerity and talent. He invited young Thomas to Louisville, Kentucky to edit the Pentecostal Herald. God indeed was crafting a mighty man for his glory. From 1903 to 1909, Chisholm pastored in Scottsville, Kentucky. But by the age of 43, his health began to fail. Leaving the pastorate, he moved his family to Winona Lake to be near the ministry headquarters of Billy Sunday and Homer Rodehever, and made a living blending the selling of insurance and the preaching of God's word. But the greatest sermons Chisholm would deliver were not given behind pulpits of wood or under the big top crusade tents. Rather, his work was a musical surgery on wounded hearts. He once stated, "I have sought to be true to the word and to avoid flippant and catchy titles and treatment. I have greatly desired that each poem and hymn might have some definite message to the hearts for whom it was written." To his credit, are songs like "Oh, to be like thee," "Living for Jesus," and his beloved favorite, "Great is thy faithfulness." In 1941, at the age of 75, Chisholm wrote to a friend saying, "My income has never been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years which has followed me on until now. But I must not fail to record the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which has filled me with astonishing gratefulness." Beginning in 1923, Chisholm's words, married to the melody of William Runyon, appeared in songbooks around the world. Indeed, Chisholm's anthem rings with the familiar tones of life: summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. Where there is sin, yet pardon; problems, yet peace. All through these extremes of experience, the very presence of God cheers and guides us. God's faithfulness rings true to the experience of Jeremiah of old. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Meanwhile, at the Moody Bible Institute, Chisholm's anthem became the unofficial hymn of the school. This historical detail owes providentially to Mr. Runyon, the author of Great is Thy Faithfulness melody, who was employed at Moody in 1925, serving as editor for the school. Also at Moody in the fall of 1929, John Stamm and Betty Scott met. John was already burdened for the nation of China, and he had been praying in the home of Dr. Isaac Page. Page was serving for the China Inland Mission and had weekly prayer meetings in his home to stir the hearts of young people for the great spiritual needs in the Orient. And when the China Inland Mission sent out its call for 200 missionaries to give their lives for Christ. Betty also surrendered. In love with Jesus and drawing near to each other, Betty's graduation in 1931 did not prove a problem either for her surrender to Christ, her love for John, or her inevitable ministry in China. He would graduate in 1932, sail for Shanghai, and they would marry in God's will in their field of service. Indeed, they were married on October 25th, 1933. Yet little did they know that the unofficial hymn that they had sung at Moody would become so very meaningful in their very near future. John and Betty made ideal missionaries. They had an ardent love for Christ and the Chinese people. They worked hard and soon won their way into the hearts of Chinese people. John was tall, cheerful, and fearless. Betty was winsome and always by John's side. By November of 1934, the Stams moved their substance and their most treasured asset, baby Helen Priscilla, to Tsing Tih. Although John had heard of communist activity in the area, he feared no evil, but soon his faith would be tested. On December 6, 1943, at 9:30 a.m., the communists were within 4 miles of their home. The attack came so suddenly that it prevented their escape. John was robbed of all his money and arrested. Later, Betty and baby Helen were also taken. While in the prison, John wrote Mr. Gibbs of the China Inland Mission headquarters at Shanghai, "My wife, baby, and myself are today in the hands of the communists in the city of Tsing Tih. Their demand is $20,000 for our release. All our possessions and stores are in their hands, but we praise God for peace in our hearts and a meal tonight. God grant you wisdom in what you do. The Lord bless and guide you. And as for us, may God be glorified, whether by life or by death." The letter was slipped to a fellow Christian and was smuggled from one Christian to another until it reached Shanghai. The next day, the communists carried away what booty they could, and with the Stams, marched quickly some 17 miles away. John and Betty were shoved into a post office and left under guard. The postmaster recognized them and asked where they were going, to which they replied, "We are on our way to heaven." No doubt at this moment, the words to their favorite hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," would grace into their wounded hearts. Sometime later, Betty's father came into possession of her Bible found in the loot taken by the communist. In it, Betty had written, "Lord, I give up my own purposes and plans, all my own desires, hopes, and ambitions, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to thee, to be thine forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever." As we know today, the cost was their very lives. But even to their dying breath, John and Betty experienced Chisholm's hymn in living color. They were not left alone, for God was faithful to their end, for he had delivered them from this world into the heavenly and had used them to light the way for hundreds of young people to China in order to preach Christ. From Franklin, Kentucky, through Chicago, Illinois, to the unknown parts of China, his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000
broadcast and would like to access more information regarding the music ministry, please visit heritagehymns.info or pastordanielcox.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.